because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. All right, it's Friday. Happy Friday, as Miss Jill would say. Happy, happy Friday. So anyway, it's a good day to be going. Seeing combines rolling everywhere yesterday, so things are getting fired up there. And people posting on social media, they're planting cotton. Maybe, I think I've seen where Mr. Jimmy Rhodes down there, Dill City way, he may be on his last day of planting cotton. I don't know that for sure, but I thought that's what he said. I'd look it up during next break. I'm pretty sure that's what he said. Anyway, we got lots to talk about today. I did have a special appearance happening with Dr. Taylor Mouse today to talk about foot rot. And she got busy, and she'll be in next week to talk about it. So just a FYI out there for you. Keep an eye on your cattle with all this rain, mud, moisture and stuff going on. Keep an eye on foot rot or the start of it and stuff, but we'll have more from Dr. Mouse sometime next week about foot rot. And that, and the reason why I ask her in is I got a lot of stuff in from Greg Hartman here from the OSU Extension Office in Beckham County, and some timely topics, and that's one of them. So I'll let Dr. Mouse talk more about that later on next week, like I said. So first of all, let's see what the weather's doing. Temperatures are in our listening area. It's in the 80s everywhere, it looks like, except way out there in the farther western end of the Oklahoma Panhandle. There's a few 70s out there, but Hollis, capital of Harmon County, 88. Altus, 89. 90 at Tipton. 90 at Granfield also. 86 at Bessie. 85 at Butler. 84 at Arnett, home of the famous Lori Campbell. Slap out is 85. 86 at the May Ranch. 88 at Helena. 87 at Fairview. And out here in the Texas Panhandle, let's check out what's happening out there. 84 at Lipscomb. 83 at Miami. 86 at Wellington. 91 at Odell, straight south of Altus. Well, I'll have your weather update on one of the cities out here in the Texas Panhandle coming up after our first Wheeler General Store break. Today is the Wheeler General Store Happy Cap Hour, all hour. I'll have more on Nathan and Charity Heffley and their great store out there in Wheeler, Texas, coming up later on in the show. First things first, let's see what happened overnight to cause any chaos in our agricultural world. Grain futures were lower while soybeans turned higher in overnight trading ahead of today's supply and demand report that probably came out about 8 minutes ago. Wheat futures were down overnight amidst ongoing rains in the southern plains as traders expect USDA to boost its outlook for domestic production. As much as 6 times the normal amount of rain has fallen in western Kansas, eastern Colorado, and the Oklahoma and Texas panhandles, and western Oklahoma in the past 2 weeks, according to the data from the National Weather Service precipitation page. While they might help some hard red winter wheat fields in the region, many are beyond repair after months of drought. Still, wheat is a hardy plant, and history has shown it can make a strong comeback late in the season. USDA likely will forecast wheat production at 1.672 billion bushels, up from the May outlook of 1.659 billion, according to Rutgers poll. Winter wheat output is expected about 1.143 billion bushels, the survey said, which would be up from the 1.13 billion. Corn was lower overnight on some rainfall in the Midwest and on expectations of the U.S. will raise its ending stock outlook. Inventories for 2022-23, a year that ends on August 31st, likely will be pegged at 1.4 1.449 billion bushels, up from May projection of 1.417. 23-24 ending stocks will be forecast at 2.25 billion bushels, and that's up from the month earlier outlook of 2.222 billion. How about all those? All four twos just hit the slots. Soybeans were higher in overnight trading, even as analysts said they expect USDA to raise its outlook for ending stocks. The USDA likely will project soybean stocks at 223 million bushels for 22-23 marketing year, up from 215. In the next marketing year, stocks are seen at 345 million bushels, and that production is up from the 335. Wheat futures for July overnight lost 2 pennies at $6.24 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures dropped 10 1/4 cents to $7.94 a bushel. Corn futures fell 3 3/4 cents to $6.06 a bushel. Soybeans for July delivery were up 6 cents to $13.69. Soy meal added 180 to 405.80 a short ton, and soybean oil was up 0.32 to 52.82 a pound. Let's see here. Air quality. Air quality has become a big subject here in the last week. As you guys know, we got all the Canadian wildfires going up there in Canada, but there's got a lot of ozone alerts, air alerts here in Oklahoma. Actually, basically everything east of El Reno is in alert for air quality. So, you know, be careful out there, especially if you have a respiratory disease such as asthma. Just limit your outdoor excursion. If you was in California, you'd have to turn those gasoline lawnmowers off, but we're not in California. So anyway, pick mow early in the morning or late in the evening. Just stay away from stuff like that during the middle of the afternoon. Air quality alerts have been issued for several spots around the U.S. due to the ongoing Canadian fires. Much of Michigan, all of Indiana, and parts of Ohio are under air quality alert. Parts of Nebraska, Oklahoma, Texas, Missouri are also seeing poor air quality. In northern Indiana and southern Michigan, the level of fine particles in the air will be unhealthy for people with certain health conditions. It's recommended that anybody with asthma or anything like that just basically really stay inside. In western Iowa, meanwhile, thunderstorms are possible late tonight with some locally heavy rain in the forecast. Storms are likely tomorrow into tomorrow night, though the threat of severe weather remains low. I think we got a pretty good shot of rain around here this evening. After the show today, I'm going to go home and see if I can get some oats put up. I've been patiently waiting. Make sure I put it up right and not green. We'll see what it looks like with a little bit of sunshine from yesterday and today so far, because humidity's at 42%, so things ought to be drying out around here in Beckham County somewhere at least. Okay, let's see what the current markets are real quick. Good news with the cattle market, of course, and I'll have that in the next segment. Let me update the grains, see if they'll update any. There we have it. Corn, July, 603, down over 6 today. September's 526. Soybeans for July is up almost 20 at 1382. August, 1297. Soybean meal is down a little over 5. July is 398.50 a short ton, and August is 390.40. Soybean oil, July, up over 2 at 54.65. August is 53.57. Hard red winter wheat down 11 today. July is at 7.93. September's at 7.91. July oats 3.57, up over 1. September's up 1 at 3.60. Let's see what cotton's doing. Last I checked, it's just same old thing. Cotton for July is at 84 cents a pound. October 83 cents a pound. I know maybe Sugar Daddy's out and about. Maybe he's listening to the show today. Maybe he's toting around on the Ranger, just keeping up with Bandy and the grandkids and stuff, seeing what's happening. Sugar for July is at 25 cents a pound. October sugar is at 25. And I can't find any futures on pineapple, so I have not a clue what's going on with that. So we'll see what's happening. Crude oil for West Texas Intermediate, July, 70.95. August is 71.12. Natural gas for July is at 2.28. It's down over a nickel today already. And August is 2.36. All right, let's take a Wheeler General Store break. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about them, see what's going on with the weather out, and I'm going to pick Wellington today. I already know what I'm going to do. We'll see what's happening at Wellington today and talk cattle. Man, yeah, let's talk cattle. You can't believe some of the prices I'm seeing. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water Experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water Experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
I was a teacher, and so I taught him in high school. What I always noticed about Mickey was what a leader he was. And part of it is because he's so willing to do the work himself. We had a incident this past December. Had the freeze in Mangum, had a pipe bust in the wall, and it's just a mess. And Gary called Mickey, and honestly, the plumber did arrive first, but Mickey and his daughter were right behind them. They brought tools, and they helped Gary clean out the bedroom, and they mopped the floor, they took the carpet up. And when they left, I told Gary, I said, we couldn't live in a better town, because that would never happen anywhere else. And we're very thankful to have him. I'm Celia Nippert, and Gary and I use Mickey Lively because we know that when we have a need for our insurance, that Mickey and Farm Bureau will take good care of it.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
It was 30 years old. A gentleman brought in a 30-year-old ratchet that quit working, and they replaced it. No questions asked. 30 years old, and they replaced it. Just like that. Napa Auto Parts offers a lifetime warranty on all their tools. They stand behind their products, and they take care of the people who buy them.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
Legend has it that Jimmy Clark's cowboy boots are made from real cowboys. This is your Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, June 5th. I'm Drew Cobb. 775 head were sold. 3 head of steers at 342 brought 322. 15 and 491 brought 296. 11 and 619 brought 254. 142 at 773 brought 236.35. 20 at 785 brought 226. 6 at 808 brought 230. 22 at 828 brought 221. 4 head of heifers at 453 brought 263. 67 at 666. 7 brought 229, 65 at 752 brought 210.50, 16 at 764 brought 196, 14 at 783 brought 207, 24 at 808 brought 192, 21 at 829 brought 196.50. Butcher cows were 74 to 114, butcher bulls brought 110 to 134.50. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma, sale every Monday at 10 a.m. You can sign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back to the Wheeler General Store Hour. Hey, I seen this on the text line here on Tradio, and I know there's somebody always out there looking for a front end loader for a 4440 or smaller tractor. So I'm going to give you this information. I'm not doing Tradio on Today in Ag, but I know you guys are always looking for something like this. It's a John Deere 725 front end loader, fits up 4440 or and smaller tractors, comes with mounting bracket, bucket, and grill guard. Ready? Call or text 580-471-0729. 471-0729. If you're looking for a front end loader for a 4440 or smaller, thought I would just pass that along to you. There you have it. Okay, I picked Wellington, Texas. Currently it's 86 degrees out there. Heat index is at 87. Humidity's at 46. Dew points at 63. East winds at 4 miles an hour. Peak wind gust today, big one, 9 miles an hour. So far, month to date, precipitation on 6/9 of 23, 5.43 inches of rain. That's pretty good for Wellington, I'm betting. 8-inch soil temperature is at 73 degrees. There you have it. Okay, let's see what's happening with cattle futures. Let me update them. There we go. Live cattle for June. They're all the feeders and lives are in the red right now. Not terrible, but they're a little bit in the reds. June 177.95, August 171.35, October 174.15, December 177.150. And let me click on feeder cattle, see what's going on here. Everything's in the red all the way up to May of 2024 right now. August is at 237.27. September 242.07 for October, and 243.17 for November. Yesterday at the Woodward Livestock Auction, total receipts, 1,583. They had 2,200 last week, and they had a little over 2,000 a year ago this week. Compared to last week, feeder steers were $4 to $7 higher. Feeder heifers, mostly steady. Steer calves, $5 to $10 higher. Heifer calves, $10 to $12 higher, except for 400 to 500-pound heifers, and they were up to $20 higher. How about that? Demand was moderate to active. Quality was average. Just check out some of these. All right, here's some steers. They sold 115 head of 3 to 4 weights at average 380, brought anywhere from 313 to 338, average price 314. They sold some 363s that were unwing at 320 a pound. 463 pound unwinged ones, 305.91. Some 500 pounders, 267.21. Some that weighed 686 on the average, 257 was top end, almost 237 a pound average. Some 780s, anywhere from 210 to 225. 8 weights, had some 883s up to 218. And they had pretty nice load of 928 pounders, 195 to 215, with 211.36 being the average price on them. Let's check out some heifers. 384 was bringing 260 to 274. Some unwinged 366 pounders brought 274. Some unwinged 411 pounders brought 272. Some unwinged 548 pounders brought 232. Some winged ones, 575, were bringing anywhere from 236 to 258. 600 pound heifers, they had 209 come in there that averaged 665 weight and averaged 226.03. 230 was a top end on them. Then they had a nice sized bunch of 157 of them, exactly, to be exact. 761 pounders brought 212.50 top end, 207.27 was their average cost. They had 21 that weighed 1109, brought $1.63.50. And the 8 weights were bringing up to anywhere from 175 to 210. Most of them were all in the 190s. So that was pretty good. Donnie Walker, you shouldn't have sold your heifers a few months ago. Anyway, you know that's going to happen. They were going to go up. I think you sold yours in the 170s. Anyway, hey, it happens. It's the way it goes. Bulls, medium and large number ones up there. Looks like they had about 15 head, anywhere from 372 weights to 586, and they were bringing anywhere from 308 or from 250 to 308. So anyway, and they were all unwinged on the bulls. So there you go. There's your report from Woodward. Elk City is happening right now. I don't know how big a sale they had. I didn't come that way this morning, but we'll see. Brandon will text that to me Monday night or Tuesday. We'll know what's going on next week with them. Anyway, I might even sneak by there. I know we got some people out there combining, and I got one little report from a guy here south of Elk. He said it's doing much better than expected, mid-20s to 40s bushels per acre, anywhere from 20 to 40 bushels an acre. Test weights were 59 to 61, proteins anywhere from 12 to 15, and I'm sure people just kept the wheat that they thought was going to do good, because there was a lot of wheat cut and baled up or grazed out. So anyway, that's good news for what wheat's left, and they're out combining. That sounds good. I know they're getting it down south. There was a harvest crew come through Elk City yesterday, headed to Vernon, and then they were going to Childress, according to I can't even remember who sent me that. Anyway, somebody sent me that on Messenger. They were headed down south. I know some of the guys around Delhi are getting it. I seen some going between Clinton and Hydro. And anyway, it's going. It's getting her on. So, all right. Okay, there we go. The Wheeler General Store is the go-to store in Wheeler County. From animal feed and farm and ranch supplies to paint and barbecue supplies, they are a one-stop shop. The Wheeler General Store has been serving the Texas Panhandle for over 30 years. The owners, Nathan and Charity Heffley, take pride in knowing when you walk into their store, their team will be there ready to help you with all your product needs. Being a do-it-best store in a small town makes it easy and affordable to get products that are hard to find in a timely manner. Keep your farm and ranch running properly with all the items that they offer. Delivering feed is their specialty. They have been a high pro dealer for over 10 years. They deliver feed to ranches and stores all over the Texas Panhandle, Kansas, Oklahoma, and New Mexico. Located at 15868 Highway 152, just outside of Wheeler, Texas, they look forward to serving you. Give them a call there. Easy to find, east side of Wheeler on 152 6 Highway. They're not the east side, south side of, yeah, they are on the east side of Wheeler on the south side of the highway there. You can't miss them. You know where it's at. Go find them, help them out, and do your shopping local in that area and over here. Need to go over there and do it. They support a lot of communities in western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle through FFA, 4-H, school, you name it. They help out a lot. So anyway, appreciate it. They would appreciate your business back. Well, when we come back from this Wheeler General Store break, I have maybe some garden tips for you for the week. And then coming up later in the show, I have an interesting story for you. The crisis across the food chain in America with what's going on. You know how as farm or cattle producers griping and moaning about these big four? Same thing's going on in the grocery stores. So there's a really good story sent from a good friend of mine, and I want to tell you about it. It'll shock you how many people buy all their groceries at Walmart, and what percentage. So anyway, we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Your tractor has a flat tire out in the field, or you're on a construction site and your truck tire's flat. So you call down to Blair. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They come to you. Blair Tire and Feed has 8 people who work like dogs to take care of you. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed. They're at the corner of Highway 283 and 19. For on-site tire service, call 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
Hey, Today in Ag listeners, this is Jared Clark with South Star JCB. We carry a variety of wheel loaders, excavators, telehandlers, skid steers, and several other types of equipment. Please give me a call at 469-325-7466. That's 469-325-7466. Check us out on the web, southstartxjcb.com. That's southstartxjcb.com. I'd love to sell you one. Thank you and God bless you.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
SEI Agritech in Elk City is now an Oklahoma authorized distributor for Avanta Seeds, offering Avanta Seed in corn, forage sorghum, and milo. Avanta Seeds is focused on sustainable agriculture and providing farmers with quality seed. Avanta is now offering 0% financing through December 2023. So stop by SEI Agritech on South Randall or give Kent a call at 580-225-0317 for more details on Avanta Seeds. The future begins with the seed.
There are so many great cattle to sell, the Cream of the Crop is now a two-day event. Black Hereford Ranch invites you to the 22nd Annual Cream of the Crop Bred Female and Bull Sale, Friday, June 9th at 2 p.m. and Saturday, June 10th at noon near Crawford, Oklahoma, and online at cci.live. Friday is a complete dispersal of the 2 to 4 year old fall calving AI bred char, sim, Maine composite cows. 150 head will sell. Saturday, they'll sell 275 of the best fall bred heifers you've ever laid your eyes on. 50 outstanding herd bull candidates that are 20 to 24 months and ready to turn out will also sell. For info, videos, online catalog, and requests, visit blackherfordranch.com, blackherfordranch.com, or call 580-309-0712. The Black Hereford Ranch Cream of the Crop Female and Bull Sale is a two-day event, Friday, June 9th at 2 p.m., Saturday, June 10th at noon near Crawford, Oklahoma, and online at cci.live.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Speaking of that 22nd annual Cream of the Crop, you have approximately 1 hour and 27 minutes to get there for the day sale at 2 o'clock. Hey, you hurry, get there. Tomorrow it's at noon, and tomorrow is both days are great. Tomorrow, 275 of their best fall bred heifers you've ever laid your eyes on, and 50 outstanding herd bull candidates, 20 to 24 months old. Head on up there. It's not hard to find, and get a hold of Chris Black or Gay at 580-309-0711, or easy to go. Just go to their website, Black Hereford Ranch.com, www.blackherfordranch.com. Easy to find out. Okay, let's go to northwestern Oklahoma and see what's happening up there. 86 degrees at Camargo right now, 61 dew point, 44% humidity, the no rainfall in the last 24 hours, southeast wind at 4 miles an hour. Sunset will be at 8:53 tonight. Today, sunny, 91 tonight. You got a 60% chance of rain showers. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy and 88. Sunday, sunny, 85. North winds, though, 10 to 50. There's no winds in the forecast, to be honest with you. Monday is 80 degrees and partly sunny. Slight chance of thunderstorms Monday night. Tuesday, back to partly sunny and 82. So that's a little front coming through. When will it be? Sunday? Yeah, Sunday is going to cool things off just 4 or 5 degrees from what it is now. So that's your forecast for Camargo. Okay, let's see what's happening with this retail consolidation, the crisis across the food chain. This is not too long, but stick with me on this because you want to hear every bit of the information that this story puts out. Amid the ongoing fight to stop the disastrous proposed Kroger-Albertsons merger, Farm Action's Angela Huffman discussed the downstream effects of all retail consolidation on farmers, consumers, and other small retailers during the Institute for Local Self-Reliance recent webinar. Angela spoke alongside FDC Commissioner Alberto Banana, I guess I got that right, Independent Growers Grocers Aaron Johnson and Michael Gay, and community leader Reverend Donald, Dr. Donald Perryman, as they discuss how retail consolidation harms nearly everyone except for company shareholders. As mega retailers like Walmart and Dollar General expand across the country, independent grocers and farmers are driven out of business. Consumers pay more and communities are left with fewer jobs and decreased access to nutritious food. How did we get here? Today, shocking, there's a 75% of U.S. consumers purchase their groceries from Walmart. But this is a recent shift. Until the 1990s, most people shopped in local or regional grocery stores. But the federal government's hands-off approach to antitrust enforcement over the last 40 years has caused many of these independent stores to disappear. It's happened right here in western Oklahoma. I've seen it with my own eyes. I'm not saying no names, no nothing, and you guys all can see it, but it's been happening. If the Kroger-Albertsons merger goes through, just 5 retailers will control 55% of grocery sales. With independent grocers rapidly disappearing, we're left with just a handful of grocery giants with abusive levels of power, and the consequences ripple across the food chain. And of course, it's a self-checkout too. How about that? The prices aren't coming down, and it's cheaper and they don't have to have all these people checking you out. But anyway, that's another story. For farmers, the loss of local grocer means the loss of a purchaser. As retail giants take over communities, farmers often have only one or a few at the most willing buyers for their products. This often leads to farmers getting paid less for their products. And what we're talking about here mainly is a lot of it is vegetables, beef, pork, sheep, goats, that stuff like that. The trouble is the most powerful mega retailers are able to strong-arm suppliers for lower prices, squeezing farmers in the process. Through the use of abusive mechanisms, they like sweetheart deals, giant retailers use their outsized purchasing power to compel suppliers like Tyson Food to give them deep discounts, even as other retailers must pay higher prices for the same products. This defies the Robinson-Patman Act, which prohibits anti-competitive practices like price discrimination. Even so, retailers have been able to get away with this abuse because the DOJ and the FTC haven't filed cases for more than 30 years. Since suppliers can't afford to lose major purchases like purchasers like Walmart, they give in to the giant groceries' pricing demands. To balance their books, their suppliers turn around and squeeze the farmer or hike the prices to the smaller grocer. Cutting further into the merger, 15 cents farmers earn for every dollar consumers spend in the supermarket. As John Tyson of Tyson's Foods told rancher Mike Colada Great, I think that's how I said that, you should be suing Walmart. They tell us what they will pay, and we have no choice but to pay you less. While Tyson and other corporate meat packers aren't without blame for profiteering, his point was valid. The rise of dollar stores and particularly damaging to farmers because they typically do not buy meat or produce. If they do, they don't buy it from local farmers. With ever dwindling options, some farmers resort to selling to large wholesalers and processors, but many lack the scale to do so. We've seen this play out before. When Albertsons acquired Safeway in 2015, Albertsons kept contracts only with its largest produce suppliers and dropped most of the smaller Safeway produce suppliers. And when Walmart made the decision to own and control its own dairy supply instead of purchasing through Dean Foods, it dropped Dean Foods, leading to the company canceling more than 100 contracts with dairy farmers across 8 states. Within 2 years, Dean Foods was bankrupt. If the government doesn't start enforcing antitrust laws, there isn't going to be anyone in the supply chain except for a handful of the giant grocery stores. Today, the U.S. has one-third fewer grocery stores than it did 25 years ago. With less competition, big retailers and food processors use their dominant position to hike up prices on consumers. The proof is in their profits. As you can look at Walmart, and all Sam's Kids are the richest people in the world. So what's that tell you? But just keep going to Walmart. That's all I can tell you. Sky high inflation has been hammering consumers' wallets since the pandemic. Food prices increased by more than 11% last year alone, the highest yearly percent change 1974. Yet the last couple of years has almost been the most profitable for big food retailers and manufacturers since 1950. While countless independent and regional grocers struggled to stay afloat during the pandemic, Walmart raked in $341 billion in revenue, almost 3% higher than the previous year. In the absence of other grocers, consumers must submit to mega retailers' price hikes. In November of 21, Kroger's chief financial officer said they were very uncomfortable with our ability to pass on the increases that we've seen at this point, and we would expect that to be continue to be the case. Last but not least, rural communities and workers get burned. Rural America has been hit especially hard as retail giants like Walmart and Dollar General have run independent stores out of business, extracting wealth from local economies along the way. A recent USDA report shows the percentage of grocery sales from the nation's top 20 retailers more than double from 1990 to 2020. And the consolidation was pronounced in rural areas where 76 counties nationwide doesn't even have a single grocery store anymore. 34 of those counties are in the Midwest and Great Plains. The exit of independent grocers devastate our already struggling rural communities. Health problems increase to access to healthy fresh fruit and vegetables diminishes, and packaged highly processed foods found at the convenience stores become more accessible, especially when dollar stores take over. In many rural towns, dollar stores are the only retailer left. With the closure of other grocers, and workers suffer from reduced wages as they lose the ability to negotiate better pay and working conditions because there aren't any other employers to turn about. So what are we going to do about this? Talk to your U.S. representative, your U.S. Senate, and keep the button stirred. There's nothing wrong with these big companies doing their thing, making their money and all that, like Walmart, Dollar General, and all those. I'm saying, but to take it over and put a lot of, for them to take it completely over, we need to have some entrepreneurs out there just having small grocery stores. I mean, I know there used to be about 15 or 20 small grocery stores in Western Oklahoma and Texas Panhandle, and we're down to, I can probably count them on my hand now, one hand now. So it's a shame, but it's happening. So anyway, you got anything about this you want to talk about? Call your U.S. representative or your senator and let them know what you're thinking. How about that? Let's take a Wheeler General Store break. When I come back, I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for southwestern Oklahoma and the eastern Texas Panhandle.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You gotta go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
I open new accounts, CDs, IRAs, help our customers with online banking, order debit cards, anything that has to do with checking accounts, savings accounts, opening those up for new customers or helping our existing customers with any issues or things that they might have with an account. They want customer service. They want someone to just know who they are, and they want someone that they can trust. I'm Tori Ashpaw, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust at Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Progressive presents Precious Moments.
Nothing beats driving cross-country in our RV.
This is so much fun, Dad. I don't even need to look at my phone.
It's not the destination. It's the journey.
Jinx!
The exchange you just heard didn't actually happen, but it could. Bundle your home and other vehicles with Progressive, and you could use the savings to make sure that RV is always ready to hit the road. Who knows? Your teenager might actually put down her phone for 5 minutes. It could happen. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with Hi-Pro. For Hi-Pro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock, and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done. Every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erie. Call 526-3070.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
Once again, a good afternoon to Jimmy's great stewards of the land. This is Drew Cobb with your Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, June 2nd. 602 head were sold. 10 head of steers at 205 brought 376. 4 at 428 brought 316. 7 at 495 brought 290. 3 at 565 brought 270. 5 at 606 brought 243. 2 at 650 brought 242. 3 at 823 brought 212. 3 head of heifers at 288 brought 340. 5 at 442 brought 248. 3 at 563 brought 242. 2 at 618 brought 225. 3 at 665 brought 208. 4 at 778 brought 170. 4 at 794 brought 190. Butcher cows were 70 to 120. 50 butcher bulls brought 85 to 134. 50 bred cows were 900 to 1650. Pairs brought 785 to 2600. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickman at 580-497-6095. And yes, folks, it is a true. Jimmy Clark is the only man to ever beat the sun in a staring contest.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Let's see what's happening. You guys pick a town. You got 5 seconds. Pick it down. All right. I picked it for you. Let's go with Mangum, Oklahoma for your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. And it is 90 degrees down there. Feels like 90. I bet there's some combines rolling because the humidity is 38%. Dew points at 61. The winds are out of the northwest at 4. Sunset at 8:50 tonight. 95 degrees today for high and sunny. Tonight, you got a 40% chance of storms. Tomorrow, 95. Sunday, 93. Monday, partly sunny, 86. And then Tuesday, 89 degrees. You're welcome, Major. You're very welcome. Okay, let's see what I got going on here. I know what I got going on here. Coming up June 29th, a Thursday evening. KCO 96.5, Picking in the Park. Brought to you by Barbara Dyson, Gas, and Moran Equipment. Caroline Grace, one of my main man, Tyler Wilhelm, Brandon Harden, Jordan Kane, and J.W. Lane will be picking there at from 8 to 10 o'clock at the Ackley Park North. It should be such a great evening. Load the kids up, load the dogs up, and head on out there and just go sit and have some fun and listen to some really good music and guitar work going on. So that's coming up June 29th. That's not that far away, 20 days away to be exact. Speaking of dogs, I took Beth, my newly acquired wire-haired pointing Griffon, Griff as we call him, out in a big cornfield last night. It's about, 10 high right now. Probably be head high by the time I get home today. Anyway, I took her out last night with sister. We went out. I'm training Beth to track Bigfoots. So, anyway, I had some stuff left over from that I accumulated from a Bigfoot site, a bedding site over there in the Dale High area last year. I had some of that scent, the material, feces, and all that stuff. So I spread it out through the cornfield last night. And then I took Beth out there to train her on following Bigfoot scent. So we had a good time out there in the cornfield last night with the spotlight. So it's all good. If you see a spotlight strolling around on the river out west of Carter, no worries. It's just me and the dogs and Bigfoot. No big deal. And she's at 11 weeks old. She's going to be a good Bigfoot tracker. So we'll see how things come when the wildlife department finally puts out a Bigfoot hunting schedule of our season or something. I don't know. We need it. I know you can get a license, but and I'm not out to shoot one. I'm just out to track them. I like tracking them, watch them. They're really they kind of act like I don't know, act like big grown-up kids. They're pretty fun to watch in a while. All right, get away from Bigfoot. So here's some tips on horticulture for you for the tips for June. How's that? Remain diligent for insect activity, and they are out there. And for vegetable growers, scout often so you can maintain the upper hand. Remove the early insects by hand. Inspecting for and destroying eggs before they hatch should be a high priority. Oftentimes, this will reduce the need for chemical control. Spider mites also might be a problem this time of the year. Scouting these are more difficult as spider mites are extremely small and difficult to see with the naked eye. An easy tip for detection is to place a piece of white paper under a leaf and tap the leaf several times to knock the mites on the paper. The mites will easily spot as they scurry around. Insect soaps and neem oil offer some control of mites, but diligence is necessary to keep the populations low as they reproduce very rapidly as temperatures go up, is like what they're going to be doing in the next week to 10 days. Note that most all-purpose insecticides do not provide spider mite control, so product selection is somewhat limited. Even products that are labeled to control do not work well once populations become high and the mites protect themselves with webbing. Once webbing is evident, it's best to remove the infested leaves. Best thing to do on this stuff when you get some insects, take a picture of them, especially if you already know they're spider mites. Contact your local OSU Ag Extension educator in each of your counties. And I don't have all their numbers or nothing, but they're really easy. Most of them got web pages, and they do have websites, but they have Facebook pages. So you might be able to just message them on that to find out, or talk to your local co-op person. Just talk to somebody who knows what they're doing. You just don't want to go around spraying stuff on, or find a all-natural person around to that maybe have some remedies that doesn't have actual insecticides in them. If you're all natural, to see what kind of remedies it is. And if I come across some, because I know a person, believe me, I know a person, there's something to keep insects off of your plants, I'll let you know. June is also a good time to begin controlling the growth of select flowering plants. Educate yourself on growth habits of specific plants at your in your garden is it is important to prune at the proper time so flowering is not adversely affected. In general terms, most annuals benefit from light pruning, pinching back maybe, to prevent them from developing leggy, weak stems and to encourage continued blooming. Many of the spring blooming perennials are now past their peak bloom and can be cut back as well. Remove any wraps that have been placed around trees to prevent winter injury or deer damage. Leaving this material on throughout the growing season increases the opportunity for insects to hide or disease to hide behind that and attack your tree. Just make a note on your calendar now to replace it again in the fall. And so anyway, how about that? There's just some tips on horticulture. And if I come across some of these homemade remedies like I did on my fly spray, and I will pass these along. I seen a deal on ticks, and I'll have to I'll get that for you Monday. There's a remedy with some essential oils and stuff like that to spray on you yourself to prevent ticks, because ticks are going to be bad this year. I pulled one off of me early this morning. And anyway, we got that going on. I wanted to check and see what Lugert's doing, and it won't update. I don't know why it won't update. So anyway, I know it's over 25% full now. So but now we got evaporation rates coming in. So there, as long as the river keeps running good, it'll bring in more water than evaporates. But today's evaporation rate, they're saying it is at 0.28 inches. How about that? So a quarter of an inch of water is going to evaporate off the whole Lake of Lugard. It don't sound like much, but you do the math. That's a lot of gallons of water. And anyway, we got that. All right, let's see here. Oh, the map's out. Come out actually day before yesterday, and I had guests in here yesterday, so I didn't get to talk about it. The U.S. drought map looks way better in Oklahoma than it has been. Still, almost over half of the state is in some sort of drought. But the D3 extreme drought is still right there in Ellis County and Woodward County in that area, and a little bit of it over in the panhandle of Texas. Other than that, right there, kind of north of south of Wichita, Wichita, up there on the northern border of Oklahoma, there's a D3 and D4 going. Poor Kansas, man, they cannot catch a break. I know they've been getting rain in southwest Kansas, but that if you draw a line from southeastern Kansas all the way up into northwestern Kansas, and it's probably 400 or 500 miles, or not that wide, probably 300 miles wide, it's still D3, D4. And a lot of western Oklahoma, most of all western Oklahoma is in a D2, but that's better than a D3. And I'm sure as the rainfall continue this week, our drought monitor in western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle is going to change dramatically again. And it has. It's better now. So please, rain, please do not stop. Talking about Kansas, drought has caused hay supplies to fall at an all-time low, causing some Kansas cow-calf operators to have to cull their herd, while others wondering if they'll have to follow suit. And from what I'm seeing, they probably will. Jude Gottschott, owner of the Gottschott Equipment Sales in Hayes, Kansas, said some farmers have told him about selling off their cattle herds because of the significant drought. You're hearing these old guys breaking down and crying to see their herd go, he said. It's not only their livelihood, but these cows are their family. And that's a true story. I've been there. I know that a lot of people has been there, but believe me, you know, I know it's been your livelihood, but you got to do what you got to do. And with today's genetics and stuff, you can be right back into the business and whenever the drought goes away or whenever you want to. And I know one of the gentlemen I talked to here a couple weeks ago, he said, I'm 73 years old. If I sell my cows, I'm done. And that was his exact words. He said, I'm not coming back. He said, I've done this too many times. And he said, it's just He said, I'm tired. I mean, that's bottom line. He said, I'm tired. The drought conditions that have impacted Kansas have been persistent all winter long, and says it's really damaged the pastures through the central, that area I was telling you, from southeast to northwest Kansas. So anyway, progress report, pasture and range conditions are 37% fair, 24% poor, and 21% very poor. And that is in Kansas. Hope you guys have a very blessed weekend. Talk to you Monday, give you an update on wheat harvest going on and cotton planting. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark. God bless.
Drive
cool.
This is KECO Elk City.